every motherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the movement of your spirit. Thank you. This is not a series that some guy's preaching. This is a word in due season for this summer, not just for Grace Church, but for the body of Christ in the East region. We thank you, Lord, for it. We're empowered by your presence. We want to learn. We want to grow. Blow away the chaff. Everything that needs to be removed, remove it. We are yours in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and hold them up and say this together. These are our Bibles. God cannot lie. The truest thing about us is what God says about us. And he says, we know the truth. It has set us free. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. We are equipped and anointed for miracles, healing, and the supernatural power of his Holy Spirit. Yeah, we are. Touch your neighbor and say, yeah, we are. Touch him again. Say, the devil's on the run. Yes, he is. Sometimes the enemy picks on you to see if you're really for real. Because he's not convinced in the body of Christ there really are Christians in America who love not their lives even unto death. He likes to pick on us to see if he can uncover our real motive for serving God. Maybe we serve God in America for what we can get from him. Maybe he's our genie in a bottle that we like to call on to put us at ease in Zion. Those days are gone. Amen. Maybe he likes to prick the church to see if we're more interested in being sophisticated than we are in being supernatural. I said the church needs to be more desiring being supernatural than sophisticated. If you want sophisticated, you can go to churches all over the planet. Now, open your Bibles to, I think we got enough head knowledge. I think it's time to go be love. I think it's time to go to the streets and be endued with power. Go let the sun shine. Amen. I'm not more interested in this house and being sophisticated as much as I'm interested in us being supernatural, because a sophisticated church and a frozen chosen people will not survive what's going on in this nation. But a church who's abiding in the very life and vine of Jesus Christ on the inside of them, what can they do to us? What's the worst they could do to us? So we're going to continue God's prophetic message to the church that Christ is our life. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 48. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Verse 51, he said, I'm the living bread. Everybody say living bread. Living. He's not stale bread. He's not stale, he's living. And so, I'm the living bread which came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of me, he will what? Live forever. And that's not, let's don't get hung up in a duration of life. He's talking about a quality of life eternal. Life as God possesses it. And the bread that I give is my flesh, and I give it for the life of the world. How many of you believe that Jesus was broken bread and poured out wine? How many of you believe that's who we are now? We are broken bread and poured out wine for the life of the world. And we've been self-centered. And we've thought Christianity was all about, you know, what we could get God to give us. We have the spirit of the church, unfortunately, has married the spirit of the age and turned self-centered. And it's all about materialism. It's about us. It's about, come on, gimme, gimme, gimme. But man, I think the spirit of God is saying in this series that it's not all about you. It's about the life of Christ being revealed in and through you, come what may. Verse 52, the Jews argued and said, well, how is this man going to give us his own body to eat? And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So do you see that word zoe, life, the Greek word for life, zoe, you won't have the life of God in you if I'm not in you. So you need to eat of my body and drink of my blood. Verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life eternal. He didn't say whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, when they're dead, they'll go to heaven and experience eternal life. You can have life in you now. Life in you now. Jesus was not added to your old life. He crucified your old life so that you could have a new life. Who needs to be born again if you haven't died once? Well, if we're still offendable and we're still easily angered and we're still, you know, trying to control everybody else's behavior so we can feel good, maybe we're not as dead as we think we are. Jesus came so we could feed on Him, not the things of the world. I'm going to say it again. Jesus came that we'd feed on Him and not the things of the world. Will you join me in repentance for the body of Christ around the world for how worldly we've become? How absolutely dependent on just the stock market. Man, I hope it's good. Man, I hope my checking account's good. I hope my football team wins. I hope Kevin Durant doesn't leave us for Golden State. We feed on these things. And our countenance reflects it. And so we're so up and down because the world is up and down. Man, He came that we could feed on Him. And we've been feeding on Him. It's working. Touch your neighbor and say, it's working. We're like Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, where he and the boys said, we're not eating the king's delicacies anymore. We're tired of what the king's feeding. We want to feed on what God wants us to feed on. And after he said, give us 10 days, then 10 days we'll be better. And they were. That's what's happening to Grace Church. That's what's happening to churches here in the Eastern Gate who are willing to participate with this word. Let me simply cut off what you've been feeding on. Remember when we heard the word fasting in part one? We thought, we breathed all the air out of the room. Oh my gosh, He wants us to fast. Oh my gosh. And the Spirit of the Lord said, don't get religious. I'm not talking about food. I need to cut off what you've been feeding on in the world so that you can feed on Me. And it's working, because after those 10 days, and now we're in our, this is part four of what has been a crazy series. I'm sharing anywhere from 30 minutes to 10. But you know what's cool is He's preaching the series. He's just doing it prophetically through worship and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's being said. I mean, Ray Charles could see it and he's blind. We're not missing what He's saying. Amen. And it's, the Holy Spirit's awesome. He can teach us and grow us through the Word, or He can do it through the manifest presence of His power and the prophetic stream. But God's going to say what God once said. So it's working. We're getting healthier. We're getting stronger, bigger than those who are still feeding on the world. Colossians chapter 2. This is a fun one. Verse 6 in the Message Bible. My counsel for you is simple, says Paul. It's straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been. Say, I already got it. You're not earning anything. You've already got it. You receive Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live Him. Now, do we only live Him on Sunday? Is that right? Or is this move Sunday to Sunday? It's Sunday to Sunday. Make Sunday morning a whole lot better. We got people coming in there. They're already filled with the Lord. Let's move. Let's go. I mean, we've had more prophetic words the last two Sundays than we've ever had in services, ever. Not combined, but on a particular Sunday. So clearly the priesthood of the believer is in operation. Clearly that old idea that, well, only Pastor Steve hears from God. Only God can use him. That's gone out the door. Thank God. Amen. I mean, we gotta have anointed saints. You think Sunday morning messages are gonna change America? It'd already be changed. It changes afternoon with all the sermons going on. Anointed saints will change America. People who quit looking for love and go be love. That'll change America. Boy, I feel the Holy Spirit here this morning. I feel an absolute equipping anointing. I feel an absolute empowerment coming on the saints. You know, it's written in Daniel that there's coming a time, there will be a day, he was writing in the future, where the saints will possess the kingdom of God. Not the elect, the saints of God. So we're going to live Christ every day of the week. We're going to feed on Him. We're deeply rooted in Him. We're well constructed in Him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying and start living. Four amens. Praise God. Colossians 3. Verse 1, Message Bible. So, if you're serious, Paul's just continuing here. This is the next chapter. If you're serious about living the resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Amen. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along with your eyes to the ground, always listening to CNN and the mainstream media, absorbed with all the things around you. Look up. Be alert. What's going on in Christ? That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Yeah. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He's your life now. Amen. He's your life now. Amen. We need to see what He's seeing. I want to release you today when you go to eat that you see what He sees in people. That you hear what He hears your waitress say, not what you hear in the flesh. I want you to hear what Jesus hears her say. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, there's coming a day, and I believe is now here, where even the greeters and people in the foyer, as they're welcoming people from the parking lot, are getting words of knowledge for people. Lord, bless that. Bless him. God may not release him to speak to him, but Lord, bless him. I can tell he had a rough week. Lord, he's hurting in his heart. Bless him. Let's get some intercession going among our greeting teams. This morning in first service, I thought it was over. And then the Lord said, no, you see that girl back there? I got a word for her. So call her up here. So I called her up here. I don't even know this girl. I think this was her third Sunday. And so I start saying everything that the Lord is saying. And I've never seen this before. In the middle of the prayer, I'm praying. I'm being spiritual. She stops and says, how did you know that? I'm not kidding. Literally said, how did you know that? With tears in her eyes. I said, well, God loves you and He's just giving me what's called a word of knowledge into a certain situation that you had that tried to wreck you. And then I said, can I finish my prayer? Because He wasn't even done yet. But humans can't argue with that. I don't know what her spiritual background is. Humans can't argue with that. So we're moving out. Everybody say we're moving out. Christ is our life. And what's happened at Grace Church is, it's not like we got holy enough that God said, oh my goodness, I gotta send my Holy Spirit to Grace Church because they're so holy now. You wanna know what's happened? You know what's happened? We decided to actually believe the truth. That's what happened. We believe the truth. The Holy Spirit never left. He's always here. You bring Him with you. We're just more willing now. We're more willing to be immersed. We're more willing to be available. We're more willing to be used. We don't want to be known for being sophisticated. We'll be known for being supernatural. Does this make sense to you? Man, I was praying for a crusade that's coming to Oklahoma City in August. I was praying Friday night. I got invited to pray with a bunch of pastors and churches in Oklahoma City on the south side. And you know, one of the things that I prayed was, Lord, thank you. We don't have to beg you to come do something. Sometimes I think the church thinks, well, we got to pray. We got to beg God. Send the Holy Ghost. I'm like, when did He leave? He's still here. Just believe the truth. You want to see revival? Draw a circle around yourself and say, Father, I believe the truth right now in Jesus' name. That'll spark a revival. We're waiting for something super spiritual to happen. You need to happen. That's what needs to happen. You believe the truth and start driving out all the unbelief.
Hallelujah.
Look at that. I got my hand on my hip, man. I'm serious. We overcomplicate moves of God. Oh, well, he breathed on Oklahoma City. Wow, it's incredible. No, the church in Oklahoma City just decided to believe what Jesus says about us. We decided to walk in faith. We having fun yet? So all that's happening is we decided to start feeding on Christ instead of feeding on the world. We decided to believe the truth. You know, one of the words that was released at that prayer gathering Friday night was, that if I can just recapture my church, I can go capture the lost. But I got to recapture the church. They got to start feeding on me instead of feeding on everything else. And so the pastors and churches in Eastern Oklahoma County, we've gotten together and we're all praying every Sunday for unbelief to be driven out of the church. Amen. Amen. We can agree on that. Amen. Amen. We don't sit around and talk about, what do you think about the rapture? What do you think about tongues? Man, we need Jesus. And now's not the time for a theological discussion among the church. We better rally. We better rally. Are you listening to me? Because I'm talking to you by the Spirit. The church better rally right now in Jesus' name. And come together. So we're rooting out all unbelief. And the Lord said, hey, maybe you guys should stop telling everyone to quit sinning and tell them to just believe the truth. Bam. Nathan, how much time can you imagine that churches have spent telling the Christians, telling church people, stop sinning? And the Lord said, would you please stop telling them to quit sinning and please tell them to believe the truth? We're majoring on sin management. I don't even know where that is in the Bible. Amen. What's awesome about cutting off what we're feeding on, I didn't tell one of you what to cut off. I didn't tell one of you what to cut off. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you about things in your heart, as Amriel prophesied, that he doesn't want there. Amen. How about that word from the youth pastor down the street? Isn't that crazy? Sunday to Sunday. This move is Sunday to Sunday, and it's going to be quick and sudden like a deluge of rain. So now instead of Sunday being the pick me back up, oh God, because I lived carnal all week long. No, we're feeding on Christ through the week. So we come in ready to go. Amen. Sunday morning becomes less important. Yeah. Think about that. I'm not saying don't come. Why do you think he said, come and stir one another to love and good deeds? He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but don't let that be the only time you're eating either. So now we're eating through the week, Sunday to Sunday, and we come in here and we're lit. And we're lit. So I already mentioned sermons. Sunday morning services and sermons aren't going to change the world. Love and good deeds will. So he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Come and eat, you know, come and eat of me and celebrate each other. Share what's going on through your week. Amen. Church is no longer, oh God, please pick me up. I had a horrible week. You know, the Mets lost or Dallas lost this week. I had a bad week. My wife said something bad about me. Lord, pick me up. That's what Jesus Christ is not a weekend experience. He is to be fed upon every single day. And so Jesus said, Hebrews 10 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Stir one another to love and good deeds. Why? Because sermons won't change Choctaw, but love and good deeds will. You say, Pastor, where do you get that? Jesus said that, and they will see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Somebody give him praise for good works. Amen. Amen, amen. So as a result, we've tapped into the spirit of the overcomer. We've tapped into this spirit of invincibility, that we're no longer being ruled by things during the week that have no bearing on who we are. They have no bearing on our value to God. I thank God that now I don't look to my circumstances to figure out whether God loves me or not. That's crazy. You want to know whether or not God loves you? That's a fair question. But if you want to know, go to the cross. That's where he answered it. Not because he makes everything easy for you. Thank God we're out of that thinking, right? I'm not looking to my circumstances anymore to figure out whether God loves me or not. That question's already been answered. I'm rooted and grounded in the love of Christ now. I'm rooted and grounded in the life of Christ, not other people's opinions, not my circumstances. I'm married to the truth. I'm not married to my experiences and feelings. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, I pray Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being what? Rooted and grounded in... in love, man. I'm so glad not to be rooted and grounded in everything else anymore. Most Americans struggle with this mightily. They're rooted and grounded in all kinds of other stuff. And then they'll use the Bible as some kind of formula or magic wand to control everything out here so they can have inner peace. You don't get peace from out there. He's in here. He's already in here. You release peace out there. Verse 18. I'm rooted and grounded in love that I may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width, the length, the depth, and the height. Look at this. To know the love of Christ that passes human understanding. Why? That I can be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled to the fullness, church. How many of you think we need, you know, we just need more programs, better programs, Rick, right? Better programs in church. That's what I'll do. That'll bring in the lost. Let's get some new members. Where in the Bible does it say we're going after church members? Nowhere. If it is true, how many of you ever heard the passage in Matthew 16 that if you try to save your own life, you'll lose it? If that's true individually, is it not true corporately for the church? If the church sets herself up as the end to be sought and she tries to save herself, she will lose herself. So the church can't be given to herself. We have to be given to something bigger than ourselves. Christ and his kingdom. Amen? Amen to that. So we get rooted and grounded in love and the life of Christ instead of all these other things. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Sorry. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We don't need more programs. What happens if the church just get filled up to the fullness of God? If we're going to have a program, can that be our program? The church is filled up to all the fullness of God. The restaurants on Sunday will never be the same. Did you know what? Restaurants Sunday to Sunday will never be the same. But did you know that waiters and waitresses hate waiting tables on Sundays? They hate it because they say Christians are so cheap. They all talk about the love of God and then they don't demonstrate any generosity or kindness. No more, amen. Our new church program is be filled up to all the fullness of God. And not just on Sunday, Sunday to Sunday. Feeding on Him, feeding on Him, feeding on Him. Man, I tell you, I can't watch the news all day long. I'll just get depressed. I am not plugging into that stuff. Hey, you know what? You know what? By comprehending the height, the width, the depth, and the breadth of the love of Christ, I'm no longer subject to rejection from everybody else. How can I know rejection when I know I'm in and not out? How can I know rejection when I know I'm accepted in the Beloved, when the God of the universe loves me and accepts me? I don't even understand rejection out here because I'm so grounded in the love of Christ. My internal intimacy with Jesus is settled. I'm settled inside. I am accepted. I'd like for you to like me. I don't need for you to like me. And if you reject me and call me some kind of a religious, zealot, crazy person, I don't want to hear about Jesus. I'm not going to cry because of you. I'm going to cry for you. Amen. You see where the church is going. Amen. Maturity. No longer tossed to and fro by opinions and doctrines and what everybody says. But we grow up in all aspects. Everybody say all aspects. All aspects. To the fullness of Christ. There's your church program. The fullness of Christ hits the church. Amen. Filled up to all the fullness of God. That'll change the world. Christ's life and His presence inside of me is my anchor, my stability, my vine. I'm feeding on Him every day, not everything else. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Through 39, look at this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Well, it has. The church has because we've not been rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. So when somebody persecutes us or says something mean, then we just go in the tank because we're not persuaded. Verse 36, as it's written, for your sake, O Lord, we're killed all day long. Did you see that? We're put to death. We might suffer for Jesus, guys. It could happen. But we're not going in the tank because we're abiding in the vine, not in everything out there. Verse 37, yet in all these things, not after they're over. Lord, thank you for delivering me. Thank God now I can praise you. No, in all these things, you're more than a conqueror. In the midst of them, you're conquering. Through Him who loved us. Amen. Through His love. For I'm persuaded. Everybody say persuaded. that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, power, things present nor things to come, height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
My goodness. Do we believe this?
Yes.
Does our countenance reflect this? Or do we still reveal that we're really dependent on everybody else liking us? Please don't say anything bad about me. I can't handle it. No, we're persuaded. The word persuaded means here convinced, completely won over to believe. We're convinced. So the move of God's Spirit here is not just about Him blowing in sovereignly. We had nothing to do with it. We're just choosing to feed on Him. Sunday to Sunday. Now, because we're feeding on Christ, we're not so easily offended. We're not so quick to anger. We're not so quick to put expectations on everybody else's behavior and give no thought to ours. We put on the sign this week, we owe the world Christ's love. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything except to love him. So we do owe love. I mean, think about that. I mean, how much time have we spent trying to make sure everybody else is behaving right, like they owe us some kind of behavior? We owe them Christ's love and life, according to the Bible. So we don't have to look for love from everybody. We can go be love to everybody. Our eye is single. Matthew 6:22. When your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But the enemy likes to use circumstances and situations to give you a wide-angle lens and get you thinking. Let me think about this. Unbelief creeps in, all that stuff. Do you realize that God Himself elevates His word over His name?
Yes. Yep.
God Himself elevates His word over His own name.
Hallelujah.
I think we can elevate His word over how we feel.
Yes.
I mean, if He's willing to elevate His word over His own name, surely I can elevate His word over things I see in the natural. I don't want to have to see it to believe it.
Amen.
Faith shouts before the walls come down. Think about it. Faith shouts before the walls come down. Seeing is believing, is what the world says. Believing is seeing, is what faith says. Amen, amen. You know, the integrity of who God is can only be seen because of the integrity of His word. The only reason you can see Him for who He is the integrity of His word. That's why He elevates His word over His own name. God can't lie. So how many of you believe the truth about who God says you are? Show of hands. How many of you believe the truth about who God says He is? How many of you believe you're worth the blood of Christ?
Absolutely.
I mean, think about that. You're worth the blood of Christ. In His eyes, you're worth the blood of Christ. If you believe these things, you'll be totally transformed. I'm talking about it will radically change your demeanor. People and circumstances no longer be your barometer for how you're doing. Man, how wonderful the day we discover that everybody else is not the reason I'm having a bad day. Woo! There is freedom, Jody, in that. I just got delivered from everybody else. You remember when the Lord told Paul, I'm going to deliver you from all those people I'm sending you to. Why? So He could tell them the truth in love. So He wouldn't need them. How wonderful the day we discover that everyone else is not the reason that I'm not having a good day. So now I can quit praying for everybody else to act right and be focused and single in my heart. And so my body is full of light. Amen. There's coming a day and is now here where the words of men don't trump the words of God anymore. Amen, church. The words of men don't trump the words of God anymore. The actions of your earthly father don't trump the actions of your heavenly father anymore. Because the world says, oh, I'm so sorry. You had a bad earthly father. He didn't give you the love you should have had. So now you're just this poor little boy who's grown up to a man and you're hamstrung your whole life. Here, take these pills. Let me tell you something. The only reason I have an earthly father is because my heavenly father said, Steve, it's time for you to be summoned. It's time for you to be made manifest. That's the only reason I have an earthly father. Why? Because God's purpose summoned my existence. Now, I came through my parents, and praise God for them. But I came from God. Man, I just don't feel like you're believing what I'm saying right now. No longer will the actions of my earthly father overcome the actions of my heavenly father. Because I only have an earthly father because my heavenly father said, it's time for you to come forth. Boy, that's powerful. We are his workmanship. Thank you, Bruce. How about Micah 4:13? Are we having a good time? We have a good time? Are you hungry yet? How hungry are you? How hungry are you? How hungry are you? How hungry are you for the word of God? Micah 4:13. Message Bible. On your feet, daughter of Zion, be threshed of chaff, refined of dross. I'm remaking you into a people invincible. I'm making you into God's juggernaut. I'm making you into God's juggernaut. That doesn't sound like that Peter Pan Christianity where we get undone by everything and everybody. Everybody say, we're a juggernaut. Say it again. We're a juggernaut. One more time. We're a juggernaut. Woo! A juggernaut. What does it mean? Yes, we're a force. We're a movement. We cannot be stopped. That's right. That was not pre-rehearsed. How about that? We cannot be undone. We cannot be overcome. We're a movement. We're a force. Why? Because we're awesome? No, because the one who's in us is awesome. We are the avalanche. We are the well. We are the river. Do you know in Matthew 13 that Jesus said that there was seed sown into the earth, good seed. A sower sowed good seed. Everybody say good seed.
Good seed.
Next verse he said, and the seed that has been sown is the sons of the kingdom. He sowed you into the earth. Matthew 13, read it at lunch. Read it to your waitress today. Tell her she's not who she thinks she is. Hey. Think of all the stuff you got in your hands right now. Tell her, how about this one? Tell her that God's purpose summoned her existence. Tell her the only reason she had earthly parents is because Almighty God said it's time for you, sister, to come forth. Woo! So here's the word invincible, incapable of being conquered, defeated, or subdued, too powerful to be overcome. And then the word juggernaut, say it again, real loud, say it again.
A huge, powerful, and overwhelming force, something such as a force or movement that is extremely large and powerful and cannot be stopped.
Wow. Go ahead and clap your hands for that. God's making you into a juggernaut. So the gospel of Jesus Christ then, get ready for this, I don't mean to hurt your theology, is not holding on till the end. The gospel of Jesus Christ is transformation, authority, and power. It's not the church holding on till the end. Jesus, rapture us out. It's so dark out there. Oh wait, I'm the light. Whoops, forgot about that. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not holding on to the end. It's transformation, authority, and power. What's Grace Church? What's happening? Well, we're under a transformation. That's what's going on. We're under a transformation. Moving out in authority and power. It's as easy as ABC, church. Authority, boldness, and confidence. Not in our own selves, but in the one who loved us enough to give his own life for us and take up residence inside of us. Amen. No longer do we walk the aisles to be free. We're walking the aisles to be his.
Amen.
To belong to him. No longer are we going to keep being religious and giving God 10%. 10% of our money, 10% of our time, 10% of my service. How about we just say, Lord, all of me. You can have all of me. How about Revelation 12:11? Look at this one. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And then everybody forgets part three. They did not love their lives even unto death. It takes all three. You want to overcome? It takes all three. We'll sing about the blood, right? Oh, the blood of Jesus. You guys know it? Oh, the blood of Jesus. And oh, the blood of Jesus. What's it do? It washes white as snow. So we sing about the blood and then we testify about our love for Christ. But how do we do on number three? Do we not love our lives even unto death? Because church, we need all three. The enemy loves to uncover our motives as to why we're really a Christian. And like I said earlier, he's not convinced that we're not in it for ourselves, so he likes to pick on us. But as I said before, well, what if our circumstances that go wrong are just the devil pricking us to see if we are the real deal or not? Or if we're just using God for our convenience? I don't want to be in it for myself. I want to be in it for the one who died and rose again on my behalf. I want to be in it for him. I want to have a strong desire for the supernatural, not for the sophisticated. Jeremy, you guys can come. You know, we all line up for the love of God, and rightfully so. But there's a step beyond that, and that's go be that love. That's what we're hearing this morning prophetically all the time, last few weeks. You know, upon receiving the love of Christ, we want to go be that love to other people. The life and love of Christ came as to deliver us from self-centeredness. And oftentimes we think our biggest enemy, like, is our neighbor. Our biggest enemy is our boss. If we could just get him acting right, I could have peace. My biggest enemy is, you know, my spouse. Just, if I could just get her to do right, then I'd be happy. What if our biggest enemy is our own self, unsurrendered and full of unbelief? Let's take a self, submit it, and marry ourselves to the truth. I don't want to be married to unbelief with an unsurrendered self. How can our master call us righteous, holy, empowered, forgiven saints of Almighty God, and then we'll be completely undone by one word somebody said about us? Unbelief. We're too quick to forfeit our identity. We're too quick to just give in. Man, God's raising up a people. He wants a people out in the highways and the byways, wherever we go. Jesus has not been added to our schedule somewhere. Christ is our life. And when we go out, people can partake of our fruit and taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen, somebody. True story. Pastor Dan Moeller. The church a couple of years ago, they were so excited. There was a church of 300 and they said, you know, we're going to go out. We're going to witness to our community. And they had 30 church people show up. So 10% of the church showed up to go share the love of Christ with their community. Now, they were stoked about this. 10% came and they were stoked. Well, that's an indictment, isn't it? It's sad. Church of 300, 30 came to share the love of Christ. But they were excited. And so Pastor Dan had a team. They had a handful of teams, few teams. He and his team went out to this park. And the first guy they saw, they came up to him and they said to him, hey, we just want you to know, sir, that Jesus loves you. And the guy looked at him. And he said, I believe that Jesus loves me, but I don't believe you do. He said, I believe you're probably out here as part of some church event, some church outreach that you guys do periodically. Really out here to make yourselves feel better about who you say you are. But he said, when's the last time that you shared the love of Christ with someone that wasn't part of your church's schedule? We did. Or an angel. Some of the people in the group said, "That's the devil, Pastor. The devil's trying to discourage us." And the pastor said, "No, let's get in the car. That's God speaking to us. Christ is not our life. He is not our all. He's not our everything. We have just added him to our schedule. Now, are outreaches on the calendar good? Yes. Yes. Don't lose sight of that. It's encouraging. There's strength in numbers. Praise God for it. I love community outreach. I love the Thanksgiving outreach. It makes a difference. But that can't be the only time that we're willing to share the love and the life and the incredible truth of the gospel with people around us. If it is, Christ is not our life. Stand with me. Wow. Is there anybody here this morning that you need to get saved? You're not saved? Anybody? Anybody here? If you do, we're cheering for you. Don't feel embarrassed. Anybody here, you don't know Jesus. You want to know him today. All right. Gathered church, can I pray for you? Will you just lift your hands? Come on, lift them up high. Oh, Father God, oh, Holy Spirit. Our desire is for this revolution to continue with Christ as our life. And Lord, that we're going to feed on you, and we're going to feed on you, and we're going to feed on you from Sunday to Sunday, Lord. Thank you for endowing each one in this house and even those watching online with special gifts, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Thank you, Lord, that because we're feeding on you, Lord, that even our heart is trustworthy, that you would trust us with information of other people's struggles. Thank you for that. We don't take that lightly. But Father, in Jesus' name, for the gathered church today, we want to see what you see in people. We're going to lift our eyes up and we're going to focus on what you're focused on. No longer walking around with our noses to the ground. We want to see what you see in people. We want to hear what you hear people say. And Lord, we certainly want to love with your heart, your patience, your understanding, and not ours. Deliver us of the flesh that we may walk by your Spirit. That's our heart. That's our choice. That's our native land. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody who received that said, amen. Come on, give him praise. Amen. That is good. Jonathan, never the same. You will never be the same. If you need prayer, stick around here.
Lift up the name of the God who saves. Death and the cross no longer reign. Lift up the name.
This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife Stacy and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in his word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there either through audio or also through video. God bless you and thank you again for listening.